Lord, we have gathered here to praise you, to, Lord, worship you as we study your word. And I pray that, God, you would change us. Give us the ability to, Lord, not only draw closer to you, but to share of your goodness to those who don't know. That we would be willing to, Lord, plant seeds of hope into the hearts of the lost and those who, Lord, are looking, who are searching, Lord, and who are tired of the things of this world. I pray that as we share the gospel, that hearts would be willing to receive and to look to you, Jesus, and that you would be the one answering their questions. And so today we're blessed because we know you. We're blessed because of the truth of the gospel. So take our hearts and continue to mold and shape us into your image. And we ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Everyone doing well?
Yep.
Who's enjoying the cold weather?
Yep.
That's what I'm talking about. Forget that summer stuff, right? Listen, before you sit down, why don't you give a high five, bump, fist bump to your neighbor. Tell him Jesus loves him. Amen, brother. All right. This morning, we're going to continue in our study in the book of Galatians. And so please open up your Bibles to chapter 1. And if you need a Bible this morning, please raise your hand. We will make sure that you can follow along with us. And if you do not have a Bible personally, please consider that a gift from us to you. And while you're turning there, I have a couple of announcements that I want to share with you. November 12th at 7 p.m., listen, we want to invite you as a church family to a night where we can watch a movie at the Pine View Megaplex. Now, this is a free event, okay? You don't have to pay for a ticket. We already covered it. But I want to make sure that you understand and know it's for immediate family only. You can't go over to the counter and ask for 30 tickets, okay? And don't be selling them in the parking lot either, right? We got cameras out there. But listen, we rented out that movie theater on November 12th at 7 p.m. to watch the movie, The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, okay? So if you haven't seen that, you'll be blessed. If you've seen it already, and if there's still tickets available and you would like to come, please join us. But it is a free event, so go to the Connection Center and you can grab some tickets there. The next thing I want to encourage you with is our Christmas outreaches. As you know, we have several different things each month leading up to December. And this month, we want to focus on our Mexico mission trip. It will be on December 12th through the 15th. If you have a desire to go, I want to encourage you to go out to the West Commons. There's a table there. There's a demo display of all the things that they will be doing, from food boxes, praying for families, and just an opportunity for you to see what we're doing, especially in Mexico during Christmas time. And so we get the chance to be Jesus' hands and feet with this outreach, okay? So if you have a desire to go, you can sign up, or if you want to give a donation to anything that they're doing, they would greatly appreciate it, and there is a little offering box there. Last thing, before we stand and get into our study, listen, November 5th is fastly approaching, and I want to encourage you, if you have not voted yet, let's make sure that we're doing our due diligence, searching for a candidate who is best in line with God's word. And listen, my encouragement to us is vote. And then on November 6th, listen carefully. Okay, you guys listening? No matter what the outcome, God is still in control. Okay, so praise the Lord. All right, let's stand. Out of reverence, we're going to read from verse 6 to verse 10. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what you have preached, than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, So I now say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Lord, we thank you again for your living word, and we pray as we study through this next section that, again, you would allow your word to come to life. Lord, we pray that we would receive, that we would believe, and that we would live. Lord, that our life would demonstrate that we love you and we belong to you. So bless this time now. Be our teacher. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. All right. So listen, as we get ready to start this next section, I want to remind us of the things that we looked at last week. We went through some background of this letter and Paul's introduction to the letter. We understand and know who he's writing to, and these are the churches in Galatia. And I want to also remind us from time to time, again, what the purpose of this letter is. And that was to draw the churches, these new saints that were in Galatia, back to the true gospel. We're going to discover today that there were some who crept into the church and began to discredit Paul's message, his authority as an apostle, and then they began to teach a different message. And sad to say that these new saints began to turn away from the true gospel and follow after a false gospel. And so as we looked at last week, Paul wanted to make sure that he addressed these things quickly. You know, one of the things that I pray for us as believers is that whenever we are in a conversation or we hear something that is being shared about God's word, that we would take note as to what is being said. And if there's any false things that are coming from that we would gently speak up, not remain silent, but again, point people to the word so that they will know what God's word is saying. What we're going to discover, and what I believe with all my heart, that there are a lot of people out there today who are sincere and are good people, but they have believed in a wrong truth. They believed in a wrong gospel. And this is what motivated Paul. This is what encouraged him to respond immediately with this letter. And so he pointed out very clearly, those who are trying to discredit who I am, he revealed that he was a legit apostle. This calling was not from man or from any human agency, but it was Jesus himself and God the Father who appointed him to go out into this world and preach the gospel. And so we witnessed that last week, that Paul's calling was to bear the name of Jesus, and he was to share the gospel of grace to Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. This was his calling. Again, he also took a simple introduction and laid out the gospel message, the very message that he preached. And we looked at how the good news of Jesus Christ starts with the grace of God. God pouring out his love and his favor upon all of humanity. When you begin with grace, listen, when you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, it leads to peace. And from peace, we get an understanding that not only are we forgiven of every single sin we've committed, isn't that an amazing feeling, right? How many of us remember when we were in trouble, how often we prayed, Lord, if you just get me out of this? Right? And then he does, and you're like, oh, this is awesome. Listen, we've been forgiven of every sin. We now can be at peace with God. There's nothing separating us anymore. And so when we believe in Jesus' finished work on the cross, when we believe in his death and his resurrection, we understand that his death was the rightful payment that sets us free from sin, which opens up the door now for us to enter into this amazing relationship with God now and leading us into eternity. That is good news, okay? That would have been a really perfect spot for an amen. But listen, that's the gospel of grace, and this is what he did with just a very small greeting, three verses, shares the gospel. And as we pick up in our study, I want to just point out this thing, point out really quickly. We're going to look at this in three sections, verse 6 and 7, verses 8 and 9, and then verse 10. We're going to break this into three sections, but let me read the first two verses again. I marvel you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So if you are a student of the word and you know that the Apostle Paul wrote several of the New Testament letters, and one of his normal customs that he would do was give a praise. He would thank God for the people he is writing to. He would say things like, thank God for your faith, for the way that you are blessing other believers, the way that God is working in and through you. There was always some form of praise that Paul gives to his writers, but here it's missing. There is no praise. There is no blessing. There's no encouragement. Paul immediately shares his heart that there was a deep problem. There was something that was heavy upon his heart, and he needed to address it. And what we see here is when he says that I marvel, this word marvel means to be astonished. It means to be amazed or shocked, bewildered maybe. The word can be used in a good way or in a bad way. And here, Paul is not using it in a good way. He is not excited about what's happening in these churches. He is actually shocked. He cannot believe that these churches that he founded during his first missionary journey had turned away from the grace of God and the gospel message that he preached. Listen, it was breaking his heart to hear, not only after a short period of time, this church that received the gospel, the church that he ministered to, the church that he planted, heard the gospel truth, and they were so quickly willing to turn away from that truth. And they began to follow after another gospel. And so there were false teachers that came into the church. And as they began teaching, these young saints began to follow what these Jewish teachers were delivering. And so before we actually go on and talk a little bit more about this portion of Scripture, I want to make sure for those who don't know, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Again, in some ways, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I'm going to tell you right now, it is so important that we get this truth down. We need to understand what is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So for those of you who may not know, the word gospel means good news or good tidings. So what Paul is saying is this, the gospel that he preached was the good news of Jesus Christ. This is what he shared with these people, and this is how the church was birthed. That was the foundation of it. So some of you may ask, what good news is there about Jesus Christ? Well, I want to share three phrases with you to help us understand and to remember why the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. But before I tell you the good news in these three phrases, I first need to tell us the bad news, okay? The bad news is the Bible declares that all of us, listen, here's your encouragement today, are a bunch of sinners. God bless you, be filled, be married, have a good Sunday, right? Listen, we are all sinners. We are all need a Savior. There is not one person in here who is perfect, and if you dare raise your hand, we have counseling for you, okay? But we have all been disqualified by our own actions. We have done things that are contrary to God's word that is considered a sin. And sin is what separates us from God. And so the bad news is that none of us can remove that sin in order for us to approach God, to have this right relationship with God. You can do all kinds of good works, and that will never equal to you being forgiven or God, you being allowed into God's presence. That's the bad news. And it gets even worse, because if you die and you do not believe in the true gospel of Jesus Christ, there is only one destiny for you, and that is, starts with the H, and it ends with two L's. It is the word hell. To be eternally separated from God, and whatever you have heard of hell from your friends or from what other people, when I die, hell is going to be a great party. It is not. All you need to do is read your Bible and discover it is not going to be a party. It is not something that anybody would dare want to go to. And so the reality is, this is bad news. There's nothing that we can do in order to be right with God based upon our own merit. Now here comes the good news. Here are the three phrases that will, Lord willing, help us remember the true gospel message. Phrase number one, this is what I want us to understand and know. First phrase, Jesus came. Okay? Jesus came into this world on a mission to save us, to save all of humanity. Out of love, God sent his only begotten Son into this world to save it. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. How would Jesus save all of humanity? Leads us to the second phrase, Jesus died. Jesus died, he willingly laid down his life and shed his own blood to reconcile us, to remove that barrier that separates us, to conquer over sin, which is what separates us from God. And now that we believe in Jesus' death and his resurrection on the cross, listen, we can now be at peace with God. We can be reconciled back to God. God made Jesus to be our substitute. He became that sin offering so that our sins could be forgiven and we can be brought back into a right relationship with God. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Right? And so where do we find this in the scriptures? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. The third phrase is Jesus rose from the grave. Why is this important? It proves a few things. Number one, that Jesus did live a perfect life. Only one possible. How do we know that? If Jesus had even sinned, if there was even 1 ounce of sin in him, God would have never raised him from the dead. It needed to be a perfect lamb without any blemishes, without any defaults or defects. Jesus lived a perfect life. He was that sacrificial lamb. And when he died, he paid for the penalty of the sins of the world. And when he rose from the grave, listen carefully, he not only conquered, but he defeated Satan, sin, death, and hell. This is, again, when you believe in this Jesus being the one who came, who died, and who rose again, who completed the work of God's perfect plan of redemption. Now, this is God's promise. When you believe in this, you will receive the gift called everlasting life, salvation. Where do we see this? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 13. And I want to actually invite us to please turn your Bibles there so that we can read it. I want you to see it in God's word yourself. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 9. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that, listen to this, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Notice verse 13. Highlight this. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall what? Be saved. Beloved, this is the complete gospel of Jesus Christ. This is all a gift of God's grace. His favor being poured out upon, again, all of humanity. And his desire is to spend eternity with you and me. He is willing that all will come to that saving knowledge of who Jesus is. And so this is the exact message that Paul preached. This was the gospel of Jesus Christ that this church believed in, received, and began to follow. And so I want to point out one last scripture, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received. In other words, Paul's saying, I didn't come up with this story. This is not my idea. This is not my plan. I received this from God, that Christ died for our sins according to what? Scripture. And that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to what? And that he was seen by Cephas, which is also Peter, then by the 12. The true gospel is found in the scriptures. The true gospel is found in the very Bibles that you are holding. And it is this truth of the gospel message that one can be saved. One can enter into a right relationship with God and have this gift of eternal life. And so this is the message that Paul preached. This was the message that the church began to believe. But of course, after some time, very quickly, this church that was founded by the Apostle Paul began to walk away from this gospel. They deserted this gospel that Paul preached. And notice verse 7, they began to follow a different gospel. But notice the verse, a different gospel, which is not another. What is important to understand and what Paul is trying to say, it is good for us to look at this word another. In the original language, in the Greek language, the word another has two different meanings. Let me give you the first one. The first one is allos, which means another of the same kind or quality. Okay? Let me give you an example. Let's pretend that you call up Budget Rental Cars. Okay? This is not a shout out to Budget. I'm just throwing it out there. But let's say you have a trip planned and you want to save on gas. And so you call requesting a specific car. You say, I want a white Toyota Corolla. Okay? You show up at the Budget counter and they give you a Toyota Corolla, but it's not white. It's red. But it's of the same quality and of the same make. It's just a different color, but it is the same, just a little different. Would you agree? Okay. The second word is heteros, which means not the same quality. So again, you call up Budget, you're in California this time. And you want to take a cruise by the beach and you call and request, I want a convertible Mustang. And then you show up at the counter and they give you a Ford Escort. Not the same. Different make, not even the same quality. But you will save gas. Just saying. And so when you look at these two definitions, I want you to understand one is the same, but just a little different. Same quality, but the other is completely different. Has no similarity whatsoever. And in verse 7, Paul is actually using this word heteros, which means it is completely different. This is not even the same gospel. It's not even like it. It's completely different. And so we see here in this passage that the ones who are teaching this false message believe it is a gospel and are the ones who are not only causing trouble, but they are perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who are these some? Who are these people that he's referring to? It is the group called the Judaizers. These are the ones that are causing trouble. These are the ones who are perverting the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what we need to understand is the word perverting here means to change, to alter, to distort. So what did these Judaizers do? They were alternating, they were distorting the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what I want to do is share with you the message that they began to preach. These Judaizers taught that Gentiles must convert, they must become Jewish first. Then they insisted that they all become circumcised. They also continued with their teaching, You must keep all of the law of Moses. So there's three requirements already that you must do. And then notice this one, and believe in Jesus Christ. You do all of these things and then you will be saved. Notice the order. You become a Jew. You do this outward demonstration of your loyalty to God and be, you know, partake in circumcision, which no other nation was doing. And then you must keep all of the law. You must follow with everything that is written in the Old Testament. And then if you believe in Jesus Christ, then you'll be saved. You see, that is the message that they were preaching. And what they altered, what they were doing, was mixing the law of Moses with the gospel of grace. They were distorting the truth. This is why Paul was so shocked. This is why Paul was having a difficulty. Because again, remember, this was a church that he founded. It was a church that he led these people to the Lord. And I'll tell you right now, you know, how many of us in this room, when we see somebody who we love, who are dear to us, when we see them being deceived or when we see them being taken advantage of, do you laugh? Do you say, you know, do you like, live and learn? Does it cause you to grieve and hurt that somebody out there is causing pain to the person that you love? And so I want you to grasp that this is, I believe, how Paul is feeling. The very people that he led are now being deceived and they're beginning to follow a false gospel. And any false gospel will not draw you to God. It will draw you away from God. And so I want you to see this, because notice what else Paul reveals about these false teachers. Number one, they are troubling you. They are causing confusion. There is a lack of peace. Listen, how many of you have ever, maybe you're listening to the radio, or maybe you have an article sent to you, or maybe somebody else is sending a book to you and they're encouraging you to read it, and they're talking about God's word, and all of a sudden you hear something that just doesn't sit well with you. There's something that all of a sudden just sticks out, and then it causes you to like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. You raise up an ear, and then maybe you start kind of feeling like, oh, I feel uneasy about this. You see, a false gospel will never draw you to God, but what will it do? Cause confusion, cause anxiety, cause you to be unsettled. There's a lack of peace, and it could literally shake your faith. The other thing that Paul wanted them to know about these false teachers, he says it, they are perverting the gospel. They are distorting the truth of God's word for selfish gain. That they have no care for your soul. It is only about what they can get from you. What they can tell people, we led them away from the Apostle Paul. Oh, and now they're following the true gospel. All of this is what they were doing. This is why Paul is writing this letter. And beloved, here is the truth that I need all of us to understand and know. If anyone adds to or takes away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, listen carefully, they are distorting the truth and they are preaching a false gospel. My encouragement to you, don't give them your ear. Whenever somebody gives you something and it is contrary to the word of God, I want you to kindly let them know, sorry, I don't need this. If it does not align with God's word, I'm not going to entertain it. Refuse it. Remember, none of us, don't ever boast and think that you could never fall. Don't ever think, well, I know the truth. Listen, there are some smooth talkers out there. There are some pastors out there that will throw out a gospel message in their view, and they'll leave out one thing, and you'll be all like, amen, amen. There are some people out there who are involved in false religions who know the Bible more than you do. And they will use it. They will take verses out of context to prove their point and rattle you, cause you to start doubting your faith. So don't ever think that you can't fall, because notice the church who believed the message that the Apostle Paul gave, and now they're following after a different gospel. They started off well, but they eventually were led astray. And I want to pick up in verse 8 and 9. Notice what it says. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Verse 9. As we have said before, so I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. And so Paul now goes on and he actually reveals there's some major consequences here for anybody who is a false teacher. And I can just imagine that when this letter was being read, in front of a church, it would have been like me opening up this letter. And if there were these false teachers who came, you know, creeping up into the church, they're sitting in the pews, and now somebody's reading this, and Paul is giving them a warning. And he's saying, if there's anybody who is a false teacher out there giving these, you know, false information, causing people to deviate from the truth of the gospel, there's some major consequences. But notice this, Paul is not pointing fingers. He's including himself in this. Notice what he says, but even if who? We. He's not pointing, he's not bashing. What he's doing is he is making sure that everyone understands. You want to be a preacher of God's word? Understand and know this. If you do not preach the truth, there is a condemnation. There is a severe consequence coming your way. And here it is. Even if we, speaking of Paul and the apostles, or an angel from heaven, a divine messenger from heaven. Now, please understand this. There are some people who said they've been given a special revelation from an angel. Do you understand and know that the devil has the ability to masquerade and be an angel of light? So Paul is laying it out very clearly. Regardless of who the messenger is, an apostle, a divine messenger, or anybody who opens up the word of God, and if they give a false gospel, there are consequences. And what are those consequences? There's a couple of things I want us to see here. Okay? What is Paul wanting these false teachers and even the church to know? And I pray that we don't miss this. The first thing I want us to make sure we understand and know, Paul is revealing in these two verses that there is only one gospel. Only one. There is not another. There is no new revelation that you need. Beloved, what you hold in your hand right now is everything that God has given you to know him, to know how to get into heaven. Everything in your Bible, you have all the answers. And the truth that Paul is saying here is this: there are no secrets hidden. There are no special messages given to only specific people. What we need to understand, there is only one gospel. And there is a verse that I want to draw our attention to. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Another verse that I want to draw our attention to, Acts chapter 4, verse 10 to 12. Peter and John were being questioned by the religious leader after they healed the man. And they were all marveling, and Peter was telling them exactly, don't look at us. We're not the ones who did this. Jesus did this. And as they stood before these religious leaders, and as they were questioning them, notice what Paul testifies to. Let it be known to you all, speaking of the religious leaders, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, speaking of the religious leaders, who has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be what? Saved. This is an amazing passage that reflects that there is literally only one name, one gospel that saves. Here's another one. Jesus himself said these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except to who? Through who? Through him. Through me. John chapter 14, verse 6. These passages, again, go hand in hand. There is only one gospel. The second thing, when he says, if anyone preaches, again, anyone, doesn't matter who it is, even if this could happen, even if the Apostle Paul showed up at this service, come walking up, stood behind this pulpit, and said, you know what? I got a different gospel that I want to share with you today. He says this even applies to him. He says this, let him be accursed. And the word accursed here means to be eternally condemned, to be eternally separated from God. So listen, it doesn't matter who it is. One of the things that I pray we would hear at this church, understand and know, we are never, ever to elevate the messengers of the gospel. We are to elevate and praise the name of Jesus. And so not only does Paul reveal these two things, there is only one gospel, and anybody who preaches another gospel outside of this that is completely different, that is alternating the true gospel, let him be eternally condemned. God takes his word serious, and if you add to it or take away, you will be judged. And so there will be severe consequences. And Jesus also, listening to this, remember with me, Jesus also told a crowd of his disciples one day that if any of you ever cause any of these little ones to fall away from me or to keep them from coming to me, notice what Jesus said, it would be better for him for a millstone to be tied around his neck and thrown into the sea. Jesus went mafia style, right? I mean, he said it very clearly. Beloved, do you realize that we've been entrusted with the word of God, and that is not to be taken lightly, especially for us, and I'm speaking to the pastoral staff. I'm speaking to us as leaders who are overseeing the ministry. I'm speaking to those of us who have an influence and who are discipling other people. If you are not giving the true gospel, if you are not rightly handling the word of God, listen, out of love, I'm challenging you with this. Study to approve yourself. Make sure that you are delivering the word of God. Direct people to the scriptures and let Jesus bring the understanding. When we follow that, you and I will not worry about being under this consequence of being eternally separated from God. Paul is making it very clear. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm including myself. And he repeats this in verse 9. As I've said before, I'll say it again, just in case you forget, just in case you didn't hear me the first time. Anybody who teaches a false gospel, there will be consequences. And that consequence, he prays that they would be eternally separated from God. Now let's close this with verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. You see, many believe that this last verse here, Paul was addressing directly to those false teachers who were thinking this of him, who were, again, trying to discredit him, saying that, oh, of course everybody would like Paul. He's a people pleaser. Oh, of course all the Gentiles are going to love the Apostle Paul because they don't have to do anything to gain their salvation. That's correct. You don't. Of course everybody's going to love him. Of course Paul preached an easy gospel. All you need to do is believe and you will be saved. How could people not like him? As a matter of fact, all he's doing is pleasing people. He's not in this for God. And of course, Paul puts an end to that whole statement. He says, if I was still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ, because you cannot have one foot in the world and one foot for God. You cannot serve two masters. You will either love one or you'll love the other more than the other. Paul made it very clear, I'm not in this for selfish gain. I'm not here because this is my message. I'm here to deliver the gospel truth, and I'm here to speak up on behalf of those that I love. And what I love about the Apostle Paul is this. He spoke truth in love, and even though it sounds harsh, even though it's straightforward, this is what we as Christians, we as followers of Christ, should be doing the moment we hear a false gospel. The moment that we hear something that is not in line with God's word, that we would speak the truth in love. And I pray that we would see this, because for our takeaway, what I want to lay out is some truth, because there are still a lot of false religions. There are still a lot of false gospels going around. All you need to do is turn on TBN. All you need to do is go on the internet, and you will find a whole lot of self-proclaimed prophets. You will find a lot of different resources out there, and not all of those resources are going to point you to God. And I pray that as I share some points with you today, listen, this is not an us versus them. This is not me bashing false religions. This is not me bashing other religions. I want you to remember that everything that you've heard from this pulpit today has been from the scriptures. I gave every scripture reference. I gave every point from the word of God. And so what I want you to know, this is not, again, a bashing, but it is so important that all of us know the true gospel. And that true gospel is found in God's word. And so I pray that if we know the true gospel, that we're not going to clap when we find somebody walking in a false gospel or shout out amen. But the reality is this: if you have the true gospel, then this is what it should be doing, drawing us to our knees and be praying for those that are lost. Because there are a lot of good people out there who have been deceived, just like these churches in Galatia. They may have heard about Jesus, but now they are following a different gospel. So what is it that I want us to know as a church? And this is it. I want you to know, as a church, we believe there is only one gospel. We believe that that gospel is found in God's word. And just like I did, pointed you to the scriptures, there is only one way a person can be delivered from the penalty of sin, and it is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to remember the verses that I shared, and I'll put them back up on the screen in a few minutes. But the true gospel begins with God's grace. God's favor being poured out upon all of us. God's grace is us getting what we don't deserve. And none of us deserve heaven. Because we are all sinners, because the Bible declares that we've disqualified ourselves, the only thing that we ever deserve is judgment. But because of God's grace, because of his great love, listen carefully, he created a plan of redemption. And that plan would be fulfilled in his only begotten son, Jesus. That is the truth. That is what our Bibles declare. And that is the truth that I want this church to know in your sleep. I want you to know this so much that you're breathing it. I want you to know this truth so much. Why? Because this is the way that you can detect a lie. Know the truth. And when you know the truth, you will discover that the true gospel, once again, those three phrases, Jesus came, Jesus died, and Jesus rose again. And when you believe in that truth, that Jesus conquered over Satan, sin, death, and hell, that he is the one that accomplished all of those things. Notice this, once again, the true gospel directs you to God, and there is nothing in those three phrases that mentions your name. Jesus did it all. Some of the Bible verses I want you to write down and start studying. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. This one sums up our whole Bible. You study this for the rest of your life, you will know the true gospel. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Again, you are saved through faith alone in Christ alone. It is not by works. There's nothing that we could ever do to merit our way into heaven. Jesus already did it all. Your name is not mentioned in that verse. There is no church mentioned in that verse. John chapter 5, verse 24. Acts chapter 4, verse 10 to 12. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 13. We read that earlier. John chapter 6, verse 29. John chapter 14, verse 6. Any of those verses, I want you to tell me after you study them, what did you do to deserve heaven? And you will discover nothing. You will discover Jesus did it all. And so anybody who ever adds to, or again, leaves out any portion or preaches a false gospel, they will lead you astray. They will not draw you closer to God. They will remove you from God, and this gift of salvation will not be granted. And the reality is that there are so many false teachers today. I'm not going to start name dropping. It's not my job. But I can tell you this. There are a lot of gospel preachers out there. There are ministers out there that are alternating God's word, that are distorting God's word for selfish gain. There is nothing wrong with a minister flying coach on an airplane. You do not need to go buy your personal jet. You do not need to beg and ask for money as if God is poor. Can I remind you, our God is not poor. And whatever ministry that he has a desire to see fulfilled, he will provide for it. Again, if there's a minister out there that is wearing an outfit that costs, I guarantee you, that costs as much as maybe 1 year's worth of salary for some people, they're in it for selfish gain. Nobody needs that much of an expensive suit or shoes to preach the gospel. And can I remind us, listen, I want to just share this with you really quickly. Many people may criticize Calvary Chapel for the way that we dress. And I want to put this out there. God does not care how you dress. God cares that you are here. Now, don't take it to the extreme. Don't use your freedom to come in here and cause eyes to be drawn to you, guys and girls. Come as you are, the gospel says. And when we come as we are, he's the one that cleans us up. So the reality is, I want us to see and to make sure that we understand false teachers are out there, and they're out there for selfish gain. They don't care about your soul. They don't care about where you end up. All they care about is how big their pockets will get. There are a lot of people who will stand out on the street corners preaching a different gospel, preaching and telling you that if you don't go to their church or if you don't worship God on a Saturday, you're not really saved. Again, coming back to this amazing truth. If somebody ever tells you worshiping the Lord on a Sunday is wrong, I go back to the scriptures and it says that the disciples met on the first day of the week, which is the day after the Sabbath, which was the day that Jesus rose from the grave. And so it's on that day that we choose to worship the Lord, but we don't only worship him on Sundays. We have the ability to worship him every single day of the week. We don't have to wait until Saturday. Praise the Lord for that. But there are other religions out there that will tell you it's our church and on this day, or it's nothing. You are not saved. You're a heathen. There are others who will come knocking on your door preaching a different gospel. They will direct you to other books other than the Bible. And they will declare that they've received a special message from an angel. And they will declare that these other books that they use, that they place more of a priority above the Word of God. Remember the Judaizers, become a Jew, be circumcised, and keep the law. They will point you to three other books before they will point you to the Bible. And I want you to know this. When these people come, they are genuine people. They are just people who have been deceived. They are people who are following after a wrong gospel. So whenever you get those missionaries coming to your door, don't ignore it. Don't get angry. Don't come blasting, double barrel, Bible in each hand. I just want you to preach the gospel. I want you to plant a seed of hope in two hearts that are standing before you, because there are some good people who have just been deceived and following after the wrong gospel. And so I pray and I hope that we would understand this today. We don't need any other resources out there to bring clarity to our Bible. That's why we got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us understanding. It is the Holy Spirit that reveals the truth and those spiritual things that we have sometimes difficulty believing. But here's the other thing that is important. When it comes to the gospel message, your understanding at times will not always be required. It's your trust. It's you putting your faith in what God has already done. And though it may not make sense to you, the Bible is very clear. God's ways are not our ways. And His way of thinking is not our same way of thinking. Who are we with our little finite minds think that we could ever interpret what God is doing? And I pray that we would understand and know this. There are many false religions that are distorting the truth. They are alternating it. They are adding things to it. They are taking away things from it. You need to do this. You need to go to our church. We're the only church that you can be saved in. You have to speak in tongues, or you have to be baptized in order to be saved. Do these things and then you will be saved is a false gospel. God help us. God help us not to be distracted or deviate from the truth that God has blessed us with. What God has given us in the palm of our hand is the true gospel. And when we know the truth, it will help keep us from following after a lie. Beloved, what makes Christianity different than all the religions out there? Here's the answer. Other religions are a work-based faith. Again, it's man's attempt to earn their way into heaven. Do these things. Have perfect attendance at church. Have perfect tithing. Listen, your attendance and your tithing is not what's going to get you into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. There is nothing that you and I could ever do to ever win God's favor even more. That's false religion. That is a false gospel. Do this and then you will be saved is a false gospel. Don't give an ear to it. Christianity is what Jesus has done for you. Again, I want to challenge you this week. Go through those passages, and I want you to write down what you did to deserve heaven. And you will shortly discover there is nothing. Jesus did it all. He died. It was His shed blood. It was His resurrection that conquered over Satan, sin, death, and hell. Jesus set us up for victory, beloved. That's what He did. You believe, and what you believe, what you allow into your heart of the truth of the gospel will then bear fruit. And what takes place? A transformed life from the inside out. That's the difference. The true gospel points you to Jesus, where you will receive peace, you will receive forgiveness, you will receive a right relationship with God, which will then lead you into all eternity. But a false gospel will always confuse you, have a lack of peace, an unsettledness in your heart, cause you to even doubt your faith. It will not draw you to Jesus. It will draw you away from him. And I hope and pray that today you and I would live, breathe the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for this morning. I want to thank you for your word. And I do pray, God, that you would continue to help us and lead us by your spirit and by your word. And that in all of us, Lord, the true gospel will always, Lord, that we would always understand it and know it so that we would not be deceived and drawn away to following another gospel that is not the gospel. And so, Lord, as our hearts are open and our eyes are closed, maybe there's some here this morning. Maybe you have never given Jesus your heart. And I want to encourage you right now. This is an invitation for you. This is out of love that God desires to spend eternity with you, that God made a way for all of your sins to be forgiven, that you can enter into a right relationship with him, and that you can receive this amazing promise of everlasting life. You can't earn it. You can't do enough good deeds to get it. It is a gift from God. All we need to do is believe and hand him our hearts. And when we do that, God is the one who comes in, cleans us up, gives us the ability to see the truth, and then empowers us to live according to his word. So if this is you today, right where you're at, just simply raise your hand. It would be an honor to lead you into a right relationship with God. I don't want to prolong this. We got to take communion today. But if you are moved and touched by the word today, don't fight. Be willing to receive Christ today. Just slip up your hand that I may see you. Praise the Lord. I see your hand in the center. Praise the Lord. I see your hand in the center here toward the front. Anyone else? Father, I thank you for the hands that are raised. And I pray that if there's more, maybe you just didn't raise your hand for whatever reason. I just want you to know this. It's not your hand that saves you. It's your heart. God sees your heart. So if you still have a desire to receive him into your heart today, to believe in Jesus completing the work of redemption, then I want to invite anybody in this room, because the gospel is meant for all people. I want to invite you. Repeat this prayer with me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross. And I believe today he died for the sins of the world. So God, I come before you and I confess I've sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? For I believe by faith in Jesus' death and his resurrection. I believe by faith that through his death, my sins are forgiven and I'm at peace with God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and for saving me. God, would you please come into my life and from this day forward, teach me your ways. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.